Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily, and we're glad to be here with you on this Wednesday, on this Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. And we are happy to welcome in Wichita State men's basketball coach Paul Mills. For the first time in a little while, Coach, how are you?
Jacob, Tommy, thanks for having me. Doing good.
It's a big Wednesday. You guys, 25 days, 3 weeks from Sunday, you guys are going to be playing a game. I know the work has been hard on the court. You guys have been out there working now. Does it feel to you like we've started the basketball season now? Like, is this when you get to full, you know, to practices and everything? Is that it for you, or does it ever really stop? I guess.
Yeah, it honestly never stops. I'm not in a Hawaiian shirt today, but I'm usually in a pretty good mood, and my mood sometimes goes south this time of year simply because you realize all the things that need to get done, but at the same time you're trying to make sure we can dominate the simple things without trying to overload them with too much thinking. Having done this for nearly three decades, it is the more their brain's moving, the slower their feet are. So you're really trying to make sure that we're grounded in fundamentals and can dominate the simple things that we need to do in order to give ourselves a chance.
Coach, as we, you know, look through the first few games of the non-conference schedule for the Shockers, after an exhibition game later this month against Emporia State, you guys, you know, start on the road at Western Kentucky, you know, basically right off the bat, hitting the road and leaving Wichita for that opener in the non-conference play. Does that change preparation at all for you guys, knowing that you'll be on the road, you're headed out, or is it the same sort of preparation that you would do if you actually started the games that count towards the standings at home in Coke Arena?
Well, it definitely amps up the intensity. I mean, I've told the guys that we're not going to wait till game number six to figure out if we're tough enough to play on the road. So you're playing at Western Kentucky, a team that returns four of their five starters from an NCAA team, And I don't know if you remember, but I believe they were up 9 on Marquette there at the end of the first half. So you're talking about an experienced group who has won a conference championship, experienced the NCAA tournament, and returns 80% of their starters. So it is a game that will be very difficult, and it is something that will prepare us for games down the road. You know, once we get to the end of November, we play 3 neutral site games in a row, St. Louis and then Minnesota, Florida, or Wake Forest. And we need to get some answers pretty early about where we're at in order to navigate the rest of the season.
I want to ask about Mate. Let's a little house cleaning here, if you will, Coach. Where are things with his? I know there was some documentation and paperwork that still needed to get done. Do we have any more clarity on his status? Because word on the street is he looks really, really good out there.
Yeah, Mate's a really good player and really experienced, and you can tell I've had a lot of success with European guys in the past simply because it's a brand of basketball that's very similar to collegiate. They don't have 3 seconds like they do in a defensive 3 seconds like they do in the NBA. And I think a lot of them understand just how to navigate help defense. Whereas when you get high school kids and they're coming up, I would tell you that teams don't necessarily have great rim protection and nor are they good in weak side help. Whereas the European teams are really good at it. And so this isn't the NBA where the lane is wide open in order to create more free flow cutting and opportunities to get to the rim. So navigating in tight space is you're going to be better at it the more experienced you are. So he is really good. You know, the NCAA has a number of these players. There's a number of players who've come over from Europe this year who left certain situations in order to play basketball here in the States. And Mate is in a group of, I would probably say, about 75 players who are dealing with this with the NCAA, and a number of them at different levels. But there are a number of really good players stretched out across really good conferences. So we'll see how this all plays out. But I'm a guy whose glass is half full anyway, and feel optimistic about this, but feel great about the job that our people have done here. And, you know, I do believe the NCAA thing as it pertains to Mate.
Coach, entering into year number 2, at the helm of Shocker basketball, do you feel like, I mean, there's always going to be buzz around the program with the importance in this city and all of that, but do you feel like getting through year number 1 and you know, everything that kind of came along with that, setting your philosophies and the way that you want to run the program and all of that, as you get ready for year number 2, do you think that noise, the external noise from stakeholders and all of that, has that allowed you, maybe it, you know, diminishing a little bit to allow you to focus on basketball maybe more than you did in year number 1? Or is that something that maybe you still felt like you were able to do in year 1 and it just kind of continues?
Yeah, I definitely thought I was able to do it in year 1. You know, I genuinely love Shocker basketball. I know our staff does. We enjoy being around the players, and this is a rich history. I think if you talk to anybody nationally, this program is known for its fan support. It's known for Shocker Nation. It's known for the roundhouse and how loud it can get inside because of the support that people give to Shocker basketball. But I don't think anything's changed. There may be a perception out there that, you know, that people kind of try to intervene from the outside, and I'm telling you that I don't get bothered that much. So that's a good thing. You can kind of focus in on what you need to do. I think the people who deeply care about the situation understand that, you know, elevators don't get to the penthouse immediately. And I think we're all mindful of, you know, Coach Turgeon's first year, Coach Marshall's first year, that these transitions aren't necessarily easy. And you do believe that based on the things that you've been able to do at previous places, and you feel great about the culture that you're building. I do believe we have a lot of trust in that locker room. And I'll tell you, you know, and we'll mention this a number of times here over the next 4 or 5 weeks, but the character of our locker room is really good. I thought last year, you know, those guys were in a situation where a number of them did not sign up for me, and I understood that. And so when the rubber meets the road and you need to have some grit and be able to fight through, I thought we were a little shorthanded in some of those areas. I feel good about who we have in the locker room. I feel that they are all in on Shocker basketball. And I do believe that the experiences that these guys have had collectively and the experiences with our staff will really, you'll see a significant jump this year.
What that kind of leads me into this, Wichita State head men's basketball coach Paul Mills joining us. What gets you excited about this team? When you go home and you're talking to your buddies in the coaching industry, when you're talking to your family, like what are you talking to them about on a good way of what gets you excited about this specific group this year?
Yeah, one is depth. You know, we only played about 7 guys a year ago. There were times where we would play 8, but for the most part, we played 7 guys. And if you're only playing that much, there's going to be some holes in practice. And this isn't the NBA where, you know, those guys are going to start playing scrimmages on Sunday. And they just started practice yesterday. So, you know, I'm going to be with Oklahoma City Thunder tomorrow and watching those guys practice and have some friends that way. But I'm always amazed at just, you know, how far along they are. But those guys play more than they practice. In college, you practice more than you play. So you need depth at every single position. You have to have good guards going against other good guards. You have to have good centers going against other good centers and wings and so on. So I will tell you, the thing that I take away every day is, like, I see competition at every single spot. And there were some times last year where, man, this guy just isn't being challenged, or this is way too easy. Because we practice more than we play, in my opinion, games should be easier than practice. Practice should definitely be harder in regards to the intensity and everything that's required of you day in and day out. And I definitely see that with this group, but it's on account of the depth. The second thing that I'm excited about is we have experience. You know, you don't have young guys who are trying to figure out. You're going to have to take some lumps in order to understand what needs to happen in order to put you on the right side of the scoreboard. So the depth this year is tremendous, assuming that we can keep everybody healthy. And at the same time, we have an experienced group. So that those things cause me a great deal of optimism.
Coach, speaking of the roster, it's been a minute, I feel like, since there have been a pair of as highly anticipated freshmen coming on the roster for Wichita State, like we see this year with Zion Pipkin and TJ Williams. How do you feel about their progression so far, you know, making that jump to college and working with your program?
Yeah, Zion had a tremendous summer and just came in. He was a ball of energy. But I think anytime that you have a freshman coming in, they are relying on a number of instincts. And I think veterans, to some degree, kind of pace themselves. So you see the jubilation and excitement out of younger players being able to practice, whereas the vets kind of understand, like, listen, you're going to get the best that I've got, but I understand what you're really going to need the best that I've got is when the season comes around. So there's a learning curve involved with all those guys. Zion has the energy. I think and he has the motor. I think what now he's trying to figure out on a day-by-day basis is, where do I need to be? What do I need to be doing? And how do I do it with some level of intensity in order to add value to my team? And so you see a lot of thinking, especially when you're dealing with a point guard. And I would tell you that I'm not easy on the point guards that I've been able to coach. It's worked out well for those guys. But it is a pretty difficult position for a freshman to learn. TJ in the summer was TJ Williams, is people in Wichita know, who had a chance to see him play at Heights, is he came from a great program and he understands what winning looks like. And he too has a tremendous motor. He's a slasher. So when shots go up, he's able to retrieve basketballs outside of his area. One, because of his athleticism, and two, because of his motor. So he can really offensive rebound and then get the ball to where it needs to go, and then can really cause pressure because of his transition ability offensively. He also has defensive versatility, and so he can guard a number of positions. But TJ's battling a knee issue right now that we're working through, and so he's been held out, and we'll have we'll get a better idea about what his future entails here in the next few days. But both of those guys are good, but I wouldn't put expectations too much on freshmen. It's really hard on those guys.
Yeah, they're freshmen for sure. Who do you think right now, we'll get you one more here, Coach, who of the new guys is the guy Shocker fans you think will fall in love with the quickest? Like who comes in and makes that biggest impact, that spark on this roster? Or do you expect it to be the faces we know?
Yeah. One, I mean, for fans to get excited about, I will tell you, we have two guys who've done really well. And that's Mate. And Mate, I'm not going to call him the Croatian sensation yet. That's probably too much pressure. But he's been terrific. And I'll tell you the other guys, Corey Washington. Corey didn't shoot the three ball much when his first 2 years at St. Peter's. Didn't shoot it at all his freshman season and then his sophomore years. But I mean, I was telling an NBA team yesterday that, man, his motor and his ability to cut, his ability to offensive rebound are really unique. And unique in a good way is he's competitive. He doesn't stop. I think fans will absolutely love Corey Washington simply because his energy and his ability to get things done is really impressive. AJ McGinnis shoots it really well, but I will tell you, I know what fans like. I know what I like. And when you see a guy running 100 miles an hour in order to get things accomplished and is just relentless the entire time, that is Corey Washington.
All right, Coach. Well, look, again, 25 days till the season starts. We appreciate your time here. Hopefully we do this more now that the season is underway. We call it underway when you guys start practicing. I had it teed. I was going to let you go on the Astros reaching the postseason and not the Rangers, but we're out of time. We're out of time. And
hopefully we win today or otherwise we're just 24 hours behind the Rangers.
There you go. All right, Coach. Well, good luck. Safe travels
guys.
There for you. And let's talk again soon as we get closer to the season.
Sounds great. Thank you.
There goes Paul Mills. Tommy, I continue to get a very optimistic vibe and feel for Shocker basketball this year. We get this Mate thing's hopefully going to get figured out quick, but I've heard a lot about how good he looks, and I really hope we get to see him on the floor right away. For Wichita State.
I think the experience that he brings can absolutely be a game changer. The competition that he's faced over his time, I mean, that for sure, assuming that he can actually get on the floor and play for Wichita State, could be a game changer for the Shockers.
It's almost like college basketball is going to sneak up on us. I mean, it is. It'll sneak up on us. We're getting ready for it, though. We'll do that. We'll get some players in here. We're hoping to get more of that as we get ramped up for the season. So stay tuned for that. All right. We got a lot to sort of catch up on here when we go back-to-back interview segments. Want to tell you that the IHOP hotline is open at 869-1240. You can celebrate the weekdays with new IHOP House faves, all your favorites for just $6 Monday through Friday. Give us a call, 869-1240. React to any of our KU or Shocker talk in the last two segments. You can leave us voice messages on the Odyssey app. Just click the little microphone if you're listening there. And you can leave us your messages on our video stream, either on the 12 News Plus Connected stream, Facebook, YouTube X, all kinds of ways to get in touch with the program. So do all of that as we make our way back through the rest of this show. We're back open. We'll have more on the Royals here. another big-time wide receiver is asking for a trade. Should the Chiefs be interested? I'm interested in your thoughts on it. We'll have that conversation next.
...97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Welcome back in, everyone. If you want to win some free HTO iced tea, more than 20 flavors, or some free iced or hot coffee from HTO, you can do that right now, one of each, by texting the keyword TEA, T-E-A, to the short code 20357. Those will be good for any of the Wichita Metro locations, all three of them. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Good luck, everybody. Tommy, we continue here on Sports Daily. We'll have more Royals talk as we make our way through. But Davante Adams, real quick. Davante Adams is the next receiver entering essentially the trade market, we believe, according to national reports. He's asking for a trade. And I think you asked me yesterday, a bunch of people asked me. I think you asked me also what I think of that for the Chiefs. Look, if the financial piece of it can work, I'd say yes, do it. I'd say yes. Now, there may be another team in the mix, though, that's willing to outbid everybody. And I would also advocate for that if I was that particular team, and that's the Jets. But yeah, I'd absolutely look, if the Raiders are willing to trade in division, I would be in the Davante Adams business. I'll just put it that way. I don't know if they can even do the financial component of that, or Tyreek Hill. I mean, it's all the same, whether it's Hill or Adams or Deontay Johnson or any of them. If you figure out the finances, I think the Chiefs should be in the market for any of these guys, because I don't think we're going to see Rashee Rice for a while. And it may be, if it's this year, then a suspension, then it's a really long while. And you need these guys for not only to try to win a third Super Bowl, but to try to win a Super Bowl in 2025.
Yeah. So Adam Schefter has reported that the Chiefs are not expected to be an option for Davante Adams.
I wouldn't think the financial
part.
Yeah.
And it's simply because of the financials. I mean, Davante Adams is expensive. Like, they would have to significantly restructure his contract to even have a shot to make that work financially. And it doesn't seem like that's realistic. And then you add another layer on top of that as well, with the thought that, you know, do the Raiders really have an appetite to trade Davante Adams inside their division to see him twice this year? I mean, I just can't imagine that would be the case.
Yeah, I can't either. I highly, 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 highly doubt that they would do that.
Yeah.
So it's out there, though. And look, I think it's relevant, too, because let's say Davante Adams got traded to the Jets, which to me makes absolutely the most sense. If they can make the financial part of it work, it would unlock Garrett Wilson. It would give Aaron Rodgers that weapon, that familiarity, all of it. He could come in quicker. That potentially changes the power shift, I think, in the AFC. The Jets have been a little anemic on offense, right? Adding Davante Adams there would make an impact. Does it make enough of an impact? I'm not sure, but what I would say too is, if I was any team in the AFC right now with the Dolphins and their injury concerns, the Browns are a non-factor. The Steelers are good, but they don't have a quarterback. The Chiefs have lost all these players. Like, if I'm a fringe AFC team, I see a lane of opportunity here. So, yeah, I do think Davante Adams is a potential needle mover, as is Tyreek Hill. If either one of those two players lands on one of these fringy AFC teams, Tommy, it could make a big difference. I know Baltimore flexed on Buffalo, but I don't think Baltimore is this insurmountable team right now. Again, and this is perception of front offices. They can be run down. So, yeah, I think either of those guys, if they stay in the AFC, are absolute factors to put a team over the edge.
Yeah, I think that the Jets, you know, absolutely, because of the connection with Aaron Rodgers,
got to make that call.
That is, probably the most likely landing spot. But don't count out the New Orleans Saints either. I mean, this is a team, you know, because Adams has a relationship prior with Derek Carr.
That's a good point.
And that actually worked pretty well when Derek Carr was in Vegas with the Raiders and played with Devontae Adams.
And they've been buddies
for a long time. So, you know, clearly with a guy like Devontae Adams, that sense of familiarity is extremely important, having the strong relationship with Aaron Rodgers, but then having a past relationship with Derek Carr made that work, you know, pretty well. And that's probably a large reason why he wants to leave the Raiders, is just because he doesn't have that familiarity with whether it's Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell, doesn't really have that. And so I wouldn't count out the Saints either, because they're in a position where I know that they've declined in the last couple of weeks offensively from the way they started the season, but they're a tantalizing offense. Like we saw them, you know, put it together where Derek Carr was the best statistically gifted quarterback through the first 2 weeks of the regular season, with talent on that team like Alvin Kamara and Chris Olave and others. And so if you can add Devontae Adams to that mix, all of a sudden, I think that catapults the Saints into being potentially a legitimate contender in, I think, what is...
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's probably a fairly wide open NFC.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. He could put some NFC teams over the edge too. And they're about the only team that would be in the market. I hadn't thought about them. I like that. I like that fit. I like that fit. Because that division's open too. I mean, that conference is open too.
It is.
Look, he's out there. Does he get traded? It's probably too early for that. I don't think he's like threatening to not play or anything like that. But you know, it's out there. And so we'll pay attention to it, because Chiefs happen to need a wide receiver. I don't think they're going to get him. I don't think they're going to get Tyreek Hill. I keep circling back to Deontay Johnson, and it could be somebody we're not even thinking about yet. But we don't even have Tommy the Rashi Rice news yet.
Yeah, we don't know.
Which is the other elephant in the room now.
Yeah, we don't know. And it sure sounds like you know, there are further tests that are being planned, and I know, like, one of the things that I read, and there's all this misinformation out there, so
that's,
you have to
crazy.
Be pretty...
Not even misinformation as much as, like, guessing.
Speculation, right. It makes it really hard to know exactly, you know, what is legitimate and what's not, but I've heard that part of the reason for the delay is that doctors have to wait for the swelling to go down. Sometimes that happens when you are dealing with a knee injury like that, where, you know, in kind of run-of-the-mill torn ACL cases, there's not additional swelling, and it just, like, they can run an MRI and be like, yep,
right,
he's got the torn ACL. Right.
Yeah.
But this has, you know, some swelling because of the hyperextension that he suffered in that injury. So it might take a little bit more time for that swelling to go down and get, you know, really a good comprehensive view on what's going on. But knowing that, you know, again, they're not going to make a move right away. I think that from a realistic point of view, you do have to look at the financials with some of these other teams that might have wide receivers that are on the market. Devontae Adams is not, you know, the only one. I mean, think of some of these other receivers that have had contract disputes recently. Like, I think of a guy like T. Higgins, you know, that has had contract disputes. And,
T. Higgins, that's not happening.
But it's not happening because the financials just won't work for Kansas City.
Well, so the Bengals aren't going to trade
him. The Bengals aren't going to trade him either. So, like, there are some names out there, but I think you have to be, you know, really, like, you have to understand the way that the financial ramifications will play out. And that will limit who they can go and get.
I would tell you this, if they get some medicals that said, hey, Rashi Rice will be back by the postseason, I would say the Chiefs are fine, right? Just get, because at that point, all they need to do is get to the postseason. It's what bleeds into next year and a missed season completely that would drive me to be aggressive if I were the Chiefs. But if he's not, and the other thing you got to remember too is Hollywood Brown, I mean, his contract's expired at next year. You know Rice is going to get suspended, likely to start next year, if I had to guess at that. You can make a move now that also helps you next year in that aggression, right? Like, if you can find, if you don't trade for a receiver that's a rental, you trade, and that's why I kind of like the Deontay Johnson market a little bit, or one of these guys who cost you a little bit less but is just better than what you have. And again, I just think back to, like, let's think about, you know, sort of the first round capital for Brett Veach, and this is why I'd be willing to do it. He's traded the pick twice, Frank Clark, Orlando Brown. Two of the other times he's had the pick, it's been Clyde Edwards-Helaire, essentially, and Felix Anudike Uzama. Neither of those guys are big. So I sometimes, the Chiefs' gold has been the middle of drafts, outside of Patrick Mahomes. That has been their gold mine, and Trent McDuffie. But so it just doesn't worry me as much, because they've been sort of free and easy with their first round picks anyway, where they're taking risky players like they did with Felix Anudike Uzama, or whether they're just trading those picks. If you can go get a receiver that helps you this year and next year, I don't think that's too steep a price to pay for a team that's going to be picking in the 30s most likely anyway.
Yeah, and you know, Deontay Johnson, I know you brought him up a few times, and I like the fit as far as the style in which he plays. And I like the fact that he's on the Panthers, and the Panthers aren't going anywhere. And so the Carolina, you know, is looking to rebuild. And so, you know, building that for the future, I think that they'd be a willing trade partner. The issue comes down to the financials. Deontay Johnson has a base salary this season of $7 million.
He's got to sign and trade.
He's got a cap hit of $10 million right now. That's above the cap for Kansas City. So the only way that would happen is a restructure of a deal. And keep in mind, he's an unrestricted free agent after this season. And so the Chiefs would have to structure something to lessen the cap hit, to lessen that salary, and to sign him beyond just this season, unless they view him as strictly a rental. But again, I think that those things are going to be, I don't think they can get him as a rental either. They would have to sign him to a 2 or 3 year deal. And remember, he's 28, you know, already. And Brett Veach, it doesn't matter if we're talking Tyreek Hill or somebody else. Brett Veach has been resistant to sign receivers to multi-year deals.
To pay them big bucks. Come down to, like, will Deontay Johnson sign a 3-year, $30 million deal? Because if he would, then yeah, I'd be in there. Okay, 3 years, $45 million, right? To put him kind of in the middle of the pack. I think that's where you're, if you're the Chiefs, you're interested, because he would help you. He would be a really, really, really good fit. He is a target monster. Just like Rashi Rice is a target monster. That's what he's been with quarterbacks significantly worse than Patrick Mahomes. And the other thing about Carolina is they brought him in there to help Bryce Young. They're on to Andy Dalton now, which if I'm Carolina and I can get a first, heck yeah, I would do it today. I wouldn't be as concerned about it, because Johnson's there. He was brought in to help the development of Bryce Young. They've already pulled the plug on that.
Right.
So,
We'll see. You know, why don't we look at, you know, a couple of receivers that are, you know, potentially available that wouldn't break the bank, where they wouldn't have to restructure a contract to make it work. And there are a handful of them out there. Honestly, leading the pack is Amari Cooper. I mean, he's got a base salary that is within.
But that would require the Browns waving the flag.
It absolutely would. But again, remember, this is not something that the Chiefs are going to pull the trigger on right this second anyway. Because
what week does the trade deadline come?
It's on. I remember Adam Schefter had it mentioned it the other day. It's on election day. So we're talking November 6th so or November 7th or whatever.
Which would be like week 8 or 9.
Yeah.
It would have to be catastrophic for the Browns to be willing to do that by week 8 or 9. That would be my fear with them. You're going to have to look at the bad teams.
Yeah, Amari Cooper, you know, is probably the most affordable. But then you've got other names that wouldn't break the bank that would come in under the salary cap for the Chiefs, like potentially a reunion with DeMarcus Robinson from the Rams.
Love it.
He's under the cap. That would be fine. There are a couple of other names from the Rams that could potentially be on the move, like Tyler Johnson or Tutu Atwell. They're not getting Puka Nacua or Cooper Kupp, but there are a couple of other names that are there. Tyler Boyd is somebody that would be under the cap. KJ Osborne for the Patriots would be under the cap. And then a couple of other names that are under that they would be able to get on, but these two players are not currently playing right now for various reasons. Zay Jones for the Cardinals is under the salary cap, but he's suspended for a couple more games right now. And then Odell Beckham Jr. is, you know, on the reserve list, and he's available and affordable as well.
I don't think they need to make a trade just to make one, which is what I kind of feel like those guys would be at that point. I think if you're going to do it, you got to make yourself better without, like, it has to be unquestionably, yes, we just got better, right? If you're going to make a trade, don't waste your time. Just let Justin Watson play. Do I trust Zay Jones more than Justin Watson, who's been in the system forever? I do not. Or insert any of those names here. Like, just roll Justin Watson out at that point and let him, you know, basically you'd be getting into the point where you got last year before Rashee Rice really took off.
But you like the DeMarcus Robinson potential.
I do like DeMarcus Robinson. I think he's a stylistic fit.
I think he's been better with the Rams than
during
his tenure with the Chiefs. Yeah, he's developed.
There's no question. But he flashed. Let's not, like, he flashed with Kansas City. Like, we all sat there and thought he's got some. So yeah, I would be on that one.
I remember that one when he was coming up. It was right about the same time that Mahomes was coming up as well. Like, kind of they were in that same sort of era. And I think it was a preseason game, and I remember they connected for a long touchdown pass in a preseason game. And I thought, man, this is the connection that is going to be incredible for years to come for Kansas City. It didn't ultimately end up that way, but he flashed for sure with Mahomes during a couple of years that he was there.
Yeah, he did. That one would be good. That one would be good. We'll see what happens. We still got to get an injury report on Rashee Rice. Again, if he's back for the postseason, I don't think they need to do anything right now. All right, we'll come back. We'll get you primed up for Royals. I know we got a voice message from Ken. We'll get to that. We can take your calls on the Royals as well. Want to remind you, it's available always for free right here on KFH and the Odyssey app. Tune in this afternoon. 3:00 coverage begins for the 3:38 first pitch. Royals Orioles. You can also listen on the Odyssey app. Just download the Odyssey app and search for KFH at game time. We'll come back. A little Royals talk when we return.
.975 and 1240 KFH.
Happy Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday to all those who celebrate. Not Tommy. I assume not Jad, because we can never get Jad to celebrate this particular holiday with us, this weekly holiday that we've created here on Sports Daily. But you can. Tweet us your X us. How do you even say that now?
I just say tweet us. It's Twitter.
Tweet us your Hawaiian shirts, and we'll share those out there. All right, 869-1240 is that IOP hotline. It is Jacob Albrecht. It is Tommy Caster. It is Sports Daily. Getting you primed up for a Royals playoff game a little bit later today. Ken has left us a voice message through the Odyssey app. Jad's got that for us. Jad, let's see what Ken has to say.
Good morning, fellas. Q, for what it's worth, said on his post-game show that Reagan's cramping was an issue they've dealt with before, and they just need him to hydrate and he'll be fine. I just have to chuckle about the fact that I had some regret when the Royals traded Chapman, who I really enjoyed, for Reagan's. Anyway, great victory yesterday.
Yeah, hopefully Reagan's is fine. He's dealt with it before. Two things on that for me, Tommy. Gotta be real careful how I want to handle this.
Speak your truth. Be honest.
Let me go first on this. Because Rangers fans on the Chapman thing have been saying the same thing. How did we let Reagan's go? They don't win a World Series without Aroldis Chapman. They just don't. So that goes back to that question of, do you mortgage the future to win a title when you've never had one? I don't, as a Rangers fan, regret that trade. It helps that Reagans went to, you know, to Kansas City, where I can still root him on. But yeah, you'd love to have him. Every team in baseball would. As far as the cramping, there are so many times, Tommy, that I wish that I feel like we're a little I'm an old soul. Like, I wish we were in a time where you could make jokes about that kind of thing.
Make your joke.
Trouble. No, I'm not going to do that.
It's funny because like you live this plurality of morals, because on the one hand, and it's not even just morals, it's just in the like your the way that you approach professionalism, because on the one hand, you won't tell what you're concerned to be a tasteless joke.
But on the other hand,
you're rocking a Hawaiian shirt, and like that's you couldn't get any more unprofessional than that.
I would let people connect the dots on a joke that I would like to make and wish I could about what plagued Cole Reagans yesterday, and that I made about 1,000 times to different people through text messages because I didn't want to waste it. But we won't do it here. We have more taste than that.
You're also kind of you're kind of a 12-year-old boy too. You know, in that regard,
100% of the time. Yes, that's accurate. Correct. We all are. By the way, if you're a man and you deny that, you're lying. Because you are. But yeah, we'll leave it at that. The Royals, they send Seth Lugo to the mound today, and I'm pretty confident, Tommy. I'm taking them on the money line again. They paid on the money line yesterday. I'm in. I like Seth Lugo in this spot far more than if it was reversed and he was facing elimination. Free and easy is how I want all the Royals feeling right now. And I have a let's call it a gut feeling that they'll score some runs today. I'll call it more than, I mean, I don't even know what, it's not impressive, but I'll call it more than three with a chance to be higher. But I think for the Royals right now, you feel good if you can get that. I think they will today.
I'm really interested to see how Quattrero puts his lineup card together for this afternoon, because it was interesting yesterday. Yeah, Pham didn't lead off. Massey did. Pham was further down in the lineup. And then the other thing that was interesting to me was that Paul DeJong didn't start in the game. He didn't play. He wasn't in the starting lineup. And I know that, you know, some of that is probably I don't know if it's a righty lefty split or, you know, sort of what the decision was for that. But I wonder how game two will pan out from a lineup perspective. It's good to get the middle of the lineup back to normal. And even just having the presence of Vinny Pasquantino in the lineup changes the way that pitchers will approach Witt and Pasquantino and Salvi. Mm-hmm. I'm interested to see, though, if they end up going Pham in the leadoff spot today.
Do you remember the time in this season where we would get so annoyed at lineup construction? Because I do.
Yeah.
And that is not the case for me any longer. The Royals made it to the postseason, had this dream season by mixing and matching just about every game. So I am totally fine with whatever Quattrero's feeling today and how he runs that out. The far greater impact is that Pasquantino's sitting there in between, you know, Witt and Sal. I mean, that dude.
I said it yesterday. You know, if Pasquantino does nothing but is a statue in the batter's box, that's a win, because again, it changes the way that pitchers have to approach that lineup.
And he had a walk yesterday, which is a good sign. I don't know what his power is going to look like, but you just sort of trust it. And we haven't seen it in a while. Yesterday was the first at bats he's had in forever. So
I honestly don't have major expectations for him offensively in this particular series. This is more of a warm up, I think, for him to get back to game speed. And, you know, assuming that they can make it and move on to the division series and then beyond, I think at that point you've gotten him some reps in the wild card round, and hopefully he'll be ready to go and be ready to actually be productive.
If I'm Baltimore today, look, I'll be honest, and I don't know if this is a good idea, but I think you pitch around Witt to get to Pasquantino. I mean, if you get the opportunity to, and then if you're sitting here as a Royals fan, you hope that Pasquantino makes him pay for that, right? Like, that's what I would do if I was Baltimore today. And then because you got to see what Pasquantino's got in the tank. Not a lot of time for them, though. They face elimination. That game? Well, we'll get you all the details on the broadcast when we return. It's Sports Daily. It's all Brockton Caster. We'll wrap up a Wednesday next.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network.
Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.